Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Can everybody hear me loud and clear? It's good to be back here again. Let us bow our heads for another short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the opportunity for us to come and spend quality time with you this morning. So, Lord, we ask now that your Holy Spirit will be upon all of us. I pray that your Holy Spirit will be with me. Lord, prepare minds and hearts for the message that you have given me earlier this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I want to talk with everybody this morning about something that we think is pretty simple, but it's something that we're all in danger of. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 9. I want us to see something. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 9. When you have it, say amen. I don't want to leave anybody behind. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 9. All right, y'all have it? All right, listen to this. We'll start at verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works. How many years? 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said that they do err in their heart. You can't err in your heart. And they have not known my ways. I can follow God and not know his ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. You ever thought about, do I really believe God, even though I follow God? Do I trust him in some areas and not in other areas? You know, am I like Lot's wife? I follow everything the Lord commanded me to do except for one thing, and that was to turn around and look back. Do we have unbelief in our hearts? Go with me to John chapter 12, verse 9. We're going to take a look at some stories. And I want y'all to see something pretty interesting. John chapter 12, verse 9. Now, we're going to move through a lot of scriptures because there's some things I want us to see. I was always taught when you are reading your Bible, how many of you submerge yourself into the stories of the characters? Okay. All right. So we're going to do something new today then, right? So John chapter 12, verse 9. Are y'all there? All right, listen to this. It says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, talking about Jesus, and they came not for Jesus' sake. Whoa, they was coming to see somebody else? Not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he raised from the what? Dead. There are about 12 resurrections in the Bible. That's a lot of people that got up out of the grave. But something was different about Lazarus' resurrection. Go to John chapter 11, verse 39. John chapter 11, verse 39. Listen to this. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he would. Lazarus wasn't smelling springtime fresh. Well, he had been dead how many days? 4 days. You know, when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter, Jesus had made a statement, she's not dead but asleep. And she had just died. And he went in there and he raised her up. Guess what the people said? She wasn't really dead. She just fell asleep. Medically, she was not dead. What about the widow's son? He died, and Jesus called them in their procession, went over there, raised that boy up. He wasn't dead long enough. He just probably was unconscious. But with Lazarus, how many days does the Bible say Jesus waited? 4 days. Woo! It was the reason why Martha said she didn't want to roll that stone back. And it says that Lazarus came forth, right? Now watch this. Let's go back to John chapter 12 and let's look at verse 10. Let's look at something. If you saw that, tell me if your reaction would have been the same. John chapter 12, verse 10. No, let's do 9. John chapter 12, I'm sorry, verse 9, and we're going to read 10 as well. All right, everybody have it? John chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Listen to this. But much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there and came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. Now listen to this. But the chief priests consulted that they might go talk to Lazarus. What? All right, church, listen to me. Submerge yourself into this story. You are going to the Pharisees, Sadducees, Seventh-day Adventist church, and you are a board member at that church. Y'all call an emergency board meeting. All right, this meeting today is going to be about Jesus is raising people from the dead. As a church, we can't allow that. People can't know that Christ has power over the grave. What are we going to do about it? I say, let's kill him. That is a great idea. I was thinking the same thing. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Nicodemus raises his hand. Nicodemus, we don't care. Meeting adjourned. Great job, guys. Productive day at the Sanhedrin. You literally watched a guy raise a guy that had been dead for 4 days and his body was stinking and there was a stone covering his tomb. Help me to understand how you do not believe something like that. Now you see what the Bible says, submerge yourself into the story. See, we read the scripture and say, unbelief, oh, it's no big, everybody, some people believe, some people don't. But look at what the people experienced in that story. That doesn't make any sense. Okay? Turn with me to John chapter 1, verse 29. You say, you know, when Terry, that was another Pharisees and Sadducees. Them guys, they weren't no real followers of God. John chapter 1, verse 29. We're going to take a look at John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 29. And the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him. And he says, what does John say? Behold the Lamb of what? God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Did John really believe that? Yeah, let's go on to verse 36. Let's see what he says. Verse 36, same chapter. John the Baptist says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold what? The Lamb of God. Now, did John do this in private or he do it in public? He did it in public. Okay. We're all on the same page. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3. Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. Everybody got it? Now watch this. Now when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 shall wake everybody in the church up. Send a message saying to him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for? Wait now. Wait a minute. Now, this is John the Baptist. He was preparing the way for people to come see Jesus. Matter of fact, imagine his church. Man, did you hear John's sermon of the week? He pointed to that guy and said, man, that's the Lamb of God. Then John turned around to the same people again and said, hey, can you go and ask that guy if he's the right guy? John, you just said a couple of weeks ago in your sermon that was the right guy. Oh, do we really pay attention to the stories? Oh. And in this case, we have a guy who is actively working for the Lord. Now, when God tells us to pay attention and be careful about unbelief, y'all starting to see how of a serious issue this is? Folks, it's not just whether I believe or don't believe. John, when things got bad, he said, I don't know if that's the right guy. Now, John can get like that. How many of y'all got a record like John? Go with me to Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We're going to go to where Jesus got baptized, and I want everybody to pay attention because we're going to need to pay close attention to this. It says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." Now, before we go to the next verse, folks, was this a public or private event? So did other people witness this? Okay, verse 17. "And lo, a voice came from heaven saying, what? This is my beloved, what? Son, in whom I am, what? Well pleased." Was this a private or public event? Public. Did people hear the voice? Yes. Now I want y'all to go Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." You know, when God gives you a word in your life, guess who come by like old nasty bird to take the seed away as soon as it's thrown to you? As soon as the children of Israel stepped the foot out of the pyramids, guess who was right there cracking the whip on their back trying to get them right back in there? Satan, Pharaoh. I want y'all to notice something. Verse 2, "And he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterwards, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said," this is a very interesting word. What did he say to Jesus? He said, "If you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Whoa, whoa. Hold up, Satan. I think I still hear my father telling me I am his son. Did y'all catch what Satan did right there? There you go. The words are still ringing in Jesus' ears from what his father said. But then Satan comes and said, if you be the word of God, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made into bread. Eve, don't eat off that tree. Hath God said? Look at verse 3. I'm sorry, not verse 3. Verse 6. "And he said unto them, if thou be the Son of God," what do he say again? We still having this conversation? "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, dash thy foot against a stone." Church, y'all do know it was no sin to turn stone into bread, right? You ever thought about that? What would have been wrong if Jesus would have turned the stone into bread? What law would he have broken? Satan came at Jesus in a different way, folks. Let me ask y'all a question. Have any of y'all ever been hungry and you went like that and your favorite meal pops up in front of you? Y'all sure? No. When you're hungry, you're hungry. You got to go get you something, or somebody make you something. Satan was trying to get Jesus to cheat, to use his divine power. Remember, he had to live like a man. He was trying to get Jesus to cheat, but Jesus knows you and me can't cheat when we get hungry. You see how Satan come at you? If you be the Son of God, you know, you can break the rules. Because if he would have broke the rules, what would have happened? You and me would have been out of luck, right? Verse 6, he said, "Jump off a building." What kind of temptation is that? If I tell one of y'all to jump off the top of the church, I got to try that. I'm sure Terry's on. You ever notice at surface the temptations make no sense? Think about it. Why would you go to the creator of the universe with such a stupid idea? You know, Satan quoted a scripture from Psalms where he says, if you jump off that roof, God will bear you up. The angels will bear you up. Y'all know do something interesting, go back and study the scripture he quoted half of it and left the other part out that says, as long as you are doing the things God asks you to do, he looks out for you. God ain't tell you to go up on no roof and just jump off for no reason. See, we don't catch stuff like that. Verse 9, what do you say? If you be the Son of God. Jesus, like, I know you was there at my baptism. You didn't hear the voice? What is he doing, church? He's insinuating what? Doubt. Doubt. You know, Satan get us the same way. He make us think God don't care about our needs. Oh, Lord, I need this bread. I doubt you're going to take care of me. Children of Israel, who's going to give us water? Who's going to give us drink? Who's going to take care of our clothes and shoes? We doubt his word. And, you know, we get to the point where we even doubt whether if it's worth following Christ sometimes. You ever get like that? You ever get so discouraged? You go, man, why am I living like this? Ain't nobody else trying. Might as well join the bandwagon. Like Israel, remember what they did? Let's just go on back to Egypt. Why? We want a king. I want y'all to see something else. Let's go to John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. You know, two people can look at the same evidence and they can come out. John chapter 20, verse 24. You know, after they had been told about the tomb and everything that went on, look at John chapter 20, verse 24 and 25. This is our boy Thomas. And look at what Thomas says. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, and was not with them when Jesus came. So he wasn't in the room when Jesus showed up. But listen to this. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. Thomas like, y'all ain't seen nothing. But he said unto them,
except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will what?
Great day, Thomas. That's rough. I won't believe unless I can put my finger in my hand in his wounds. Now let's look at somebody else who looked at the same evidence, John chapter 20. And let's look at verses 2 through 8. Now look, Thomas was told by a whole bunch of people, and he said, I don't believe, but let's take a look at John the Beloved. Look at this. John chapter 20, let's look. Go back to verse 2. Listen to this. Then she runneth and come to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Who is the disciple whom Jesus loved? John. And says unto them, they have taken away the Lord of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth that the other disciple, and they came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came there first. John was a faster runner, and he's stooping down and looking. And look, this is all John saw. And looking in the tomb, saw the linen clothes lying, went in and saw that he was not in. Then comes Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and what? I got one church member. Say, I ain't going to believe Jesus unless I see him. And you got all the evidence in the world. Then we got another church member. All he had to do was see Jesus' clothes folded up and see empty tomb and say, I believe. Both saw the same evidence. But both came out looking at it completely different. These stories are really good, aren't they? Go with me to Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4. Put yourself in the story. We'll start at verse 2. Matthew 28, verse 2 through 4. Matthew 28, starting at verse 2. Listen to this. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. This is Jesus' resurrection, right? And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. How many soldiers were staked outside of Christ's grave. 30. What did they see with their own eyes? They saw an angel come down from heaven. You don't see that every day. He removed the stone that they were supposed to be guarding. And then the angel sat up on top of the stone and looked at them like, I want one of y'all to try me. And the Bible says every last one of them Spartans fell down like dead men. I don't even care if you weren't religious and you saw something like that. I bet that day you became religious. But watch this. Starting in verse 11, let's jump to verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch, which is the soldiers, came into the city and showed the chief priests all the things that done. Now look, guys, now these are the same ones that was in that board meeting that wanted to put Jesus to death. Look at what it says. And when they were assembled with the elders, they had taken counsel and they gave what to the soldiers? What? Ooh, boy, they start, Pharisees pull out them checkbooks. Boy, they started cutting checks to them soldiers. What did you see? Nothing. There you go. Saying, oh, also, while you get this check, say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while you slept. Mr. Pharisee, I have a question. I appreciate this check. You know, this is a nice check. I'm getting ready to go straight to the bank and cash it. But here's the problem with my story, Mr. Pharisee. How can I say that the disciples stole him at night while we were sleeping when I was asleep? Can you help me understand that? Wait a minute, if you were sleeping, how did you know who took him? Did you catch that in the story? What does it say the soldiers did? Verse 14. And if it come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. Do you know what the penalty was for a soldier that did not do his duty with a guard?
Death.
Death. Death. A check and a lie. That's all it took. So verse 15 said, them boys went to Bank of America, SRP, did as they were taught. And it's reported commonly amongst the people this day that that's what happened. Let me help y'all make a connection. Do y'all know that's why God raised up all of those dead people when Christ died? Because all of the eyewitnesses were paid off. Satan made it where, even though the event took place, I'm gonna make sure all of the eyewitnesses disappear. So God was like, oh, checkmate, you forgot I can raise dead people up. You see, you know, think about the stories. People say the Bible is not detailed. No, the Bible is very detailed. We just don't pay attention to what it said. How many times, y'all know Easter Sunday coming around this year. I think before I got involved with this church, I ain't never seen this part of the Easter story. Never. Even the one they show every year on TV, they never show where they pay the Roman soldiers off. Matter of fact, you never even deal with the part of the dead coming up. It's things that are there. But here's the thing. The same guys still didn't believe them. I mean, you get to a certain point, you know, you just be like, you know, God, well, if that was me, you just got to start throwing down lightning bolts. It just ain't nothing else I can do with you. I mean, it's just like, you know, you read this stuff and you just like, man, I really don't get it. You know, you don't have to go there on this one, but Matthew 14, 36. Did you know, we all know about, the old lady that had the issue of blood. She was bent over. In that story, what did she do to get healed? She touched the hem of his garment. Did you know there's another city in Matthew 24, verse 36 said Jesus healed everybody in that city. Only thing they had to do was come up and touch his garment. You know, also on Mark 6, 5, the Bible says there was a city Jesus could go to and he couldn't heal nobody. Y'all want to guess why? Because of their unbelief. People say Jesus could heal everybody. No, he was restricted. The Bible says there were some places he went where he could heal people, but he couldn't because they didn't believe that he could actually do what he had done for everybody else. Folks, there were whole cities around that city where people who, when Jesus healed people, if I didn't have this limb, it was just, you know, I'm not being funny, but there was a nub there. When Christ healed people, people actually saw the limb grow out and form and come. If the person had one leg, Christ actually performed a miracle where that leg grew out in front of the people. He could heal every manner of disease. So if I'm in my city, everybody else on CNN every day, when people went home and they watched the news, guess what was on the news? Jesus healed an entire city again. Why am I not? Even if I had no other choice. How many of y'all know people who have been sick and deal with medical issues and they get to the point, you're like, you know what, I'll try anything, any treatment. But how do you get to the point where you just don't even try? And we thank God don't have a problem with unbelief in people. Look at Mark 16, verse 14. I want y'all to see something Jesus did. Mark 16, verse 14. Mark 16, verse 14. You know, Jesus get a little aggravated sometimes. Y'all know that? Mark 16, verse 14. Listen to this. And after he, Jesus, appeared unto the leaven as they sat at meat. It's the Bible says, did y'all say upbraided him? Upbraided them? Y'all say that? Jesus fussed at them. Jesus got on them. Why? If I was Jesus, I'd be mad too. But Jesus, like, I'm coming down here, I'm dying for y'all. And all this crazy stuff is happening. Y'all can't explain it. Y'all still don't believe in me. I don't understand. What else do I need to do that I haven't already done? What is the dumbest question that was asked Jesus in the Bible? And y'all say, Terry, why you say the dumbest question? Remember when they were in the boat and they were out on the water? Jesus was asleep during the storm. And one of the disciples asked Jesus one of the dumbest questions in the world. What was the dumbest question? Y'all tell me. What was the dumb question? Say it. Don't you care that we what? Was that a dumb question to Jesus? Why do you think I'm here? I'm sorry, I was born of a virgin for no reason. I've been living a perfect record for no reason. I'm out here on the boat in the storm. I ain't worrying about it. I'm sleeping. I can stop it, but y'all out here tripping. I'm finna go and die for you, and you ask me the question, carest thou not that we perish? I know that's probably the slowest time. Jesus, oh my goodness, Father. Help me. Please. Y'all saw our scripture reading, right? It says that after all of that, Jesus was seen by over 500 people. They got on a mountain, and it said the people came to worship him. And Matthew 28 says, some people looking at a dead man who got up in front of 500 people that they can't explain. You got angels around. There's a cloud sitting by like a car. It's getting ready to take them up into heaven. And the Bible says, and some doubt it. You see where this sermon is going? Why? I think about this like, God, how do you get to a point where you see stuff like this? And you're like, it doesn't even make sense. You know, stuff like this, y'all. How many of y'all been dealing with Seventh Day Adventist Church for years? Y'all. Okay, I'm assuming if you're not, it's cool. Just throwing something out. What is the biggest thing? You know, sometimes people want to have the same conversation with you, and sometimes you ain't got to say nothing. They just find out you're an Adventist. What they want to come and talk about all the time? Why are you going to church on Saturday? What's your problem? You know what I do? I don't even argue anymore. I said, let me show you something. What church you go to? They tell me what church they go to. All you gotta do is go online. You can pull up the official statement by their denomination on their phone. I got quotes on my phone right now where it says, we know Sunday is not the Sabbath, but we keep it because of tradition. And the Seventh-day Adventists are the only denomination that teach correctly when it comes to the Sabbath issue. Quoted by whoever. I can take that same quote and show it to that individual. Guess what they say? You made that up, didn't you? It's not from Seventh-day Adventists. It's from them. It's not us. We have quotes like that that's not even in our writings. A Baptist person come up to me. They want to argue with me. Okay, well, George T. Hiscock, he was a minister. He said, yeah, I'm the one that started the denomination. No, the Adventists are right. You're supposed to go to church on Saturday. Here you go. I don't believe that. What you want me to tell you? Because we do a Bible study, it ain't going to matter. Because once you get to this point, normally the person's like, I've never seen that. When you look at that, cool, I know you want to hear some information. But other people is like, I think we're just going to wait. There are certain things that, you know, sometimes you can test people. You don't have to argue with people. Just test them by throwing something out to see if they really, you know, if they're just looking for a fight. So, I'm getting ready to wrap this up. So, the day that Christ was being crucified, you had one guy on the what? Left. And you had one guy on the right. We know during that day, one was saved, one was lost. You got the same typology in the Old Testament with Joseph. Remember, Joseph was accused of a crime that he did not commit. Then he ended up going to prison, and he was surrounded by one guy who was saved and another guy who was lost. One guy was a bread maker. The other guy was a wine taster. Communion, don't y'all like bread and wine? Typology. The Bible's telling you what was going to happen before it happened. It repeats the same thing. So watch this. In this story, y'all going to notice this. One guy says, if you be the Son of God, save yourself and us. The people said, the Pharisees said, if you be the Son of God, come down on the cross. The people said, if you be the Son of God, save yourself. How many ifs in that story? Who y'all think was in the crowd? Satan. How many ifs did we get? Well, if. Jesus on the cross, if. Who was in the crowd instigating that? Satan. They said, save thyself. Save yourself. Save thyself and us. I'm so glad that they got it backwards and that Jesus chose to save us before he saved himself. We got it backwards. On the cross, Jesus didn't respond to the if thief. Notice he didn't respond. He didn't have a conversation with the if guy. He had a conversation with the guy that said, save me. Got one guy who did believe, and then we got another guy who what? Didn't believe. You know, there's another guy, too, that benefited that day. Anybody know who Barabbas is? Wasn't he an outstanding citizen of society? That guy was excellent. Followed the law everywhere he went, right? The Bible says that, you know, that there's so many things that show us that God is like, when you don't believe me, I'm telling you that I'm trying to save you, even when you don't see it. Who took Barabbas' place that day? Does he take me and you place? Was Barabbas supposed to be beaten and suffering that day? Who took his place? Did Jesus get stripes for us? Okay. Who was supposed to die that day? But who died that day in his place? Does he do the same thing for me and you? That day, Barabbas and the other thief, their only concern was the here and now. There was only one guy that was like, I don't care what's going on. the world is falling down around me. Nothing is going my way right now. It is my fault that I'm in the situation that I'm in. I really need to start thinking about my eternal interest. And only the guy that was concerned about his eternal interest was saved that day. So my question is, and I leave you with this, church, is, are you in trouble of unbelief? Are you following God? Are you a church member? Are you a part of church? You say you have a relationship with him, but do you really trust God? Are there any sins that are whooping you right now? Why you hadn't beat them? Don't you believe Jesus can help you overcome them? So the question is, God said, let us not fall into the same mistake as everybody else of unbelief. Thank you. Let us bow our heads. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this opportunity for us to come together. Lord, you have said in your word that Moses and Aaron were not allowed to go into the promised land because they did not believe. Zacharias was not allowed to speak because he didn't believe. So Lord, we pray today that the message that was given, Lord, that we choose to believe you, Lord, regardless of what's going on in our lives. So please strengthen us and be with each and every individual that is here until we meet here again in your home next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.